Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. Hope you're all well rested and you've had a fantastic Thanksgiving. I'll just get myself situated here. Timer is on. In looking at the New Testament, at all those mighty men and women of faith, one as a very profound contributor to our understanding of God's truth. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. He was a very experienced and cultured individual. It is believed that in the three trips recorded in the book of Acts, he traveled more than 10,000 miles throughout present-day Israel, Greece. During those trips, he mingled with a diverse populace and was presented with many different customs and practices. In taking these and observing them, he was inspired throughout his letters to seek out analogies and comparisons to God's truth that he may be able to present God's message in the most beneficial way. Well, today in this split sermon, I want to take a look at one analogy that Paul used five times. He used in five different letters and spoke about personally twice in the book of Acts. This practice in Greece some 800 years before Paul's writings and was common in the regions they influenced. I am talking about competitive running. In ancient Greece, competitive running was very important to all people. It was the foundation of the Olympic. Individuals vied and desired to be one of those competitors, to participate in that, and they would have competitions throughout the area, the region. In the case of successful athletes, wealthy admirers would often give them large gifts, and so it was possible to become a professional runner during that time. In modern day, it's easy to have a love-hate relationship with running. It's far more widespread throughout the world, and there is plenty of competitions, but due to its high cardiovascular demand and muscular impact, you can either be a runner or not be a runner. You can enjoy it or you can despise it. It can seem boring, monotonous, like the pros are vastly outweighed by the cons. Having completed myself in a six-day-long adventure race, in which myself and a team of three others traveled over 250 miles on 14 hours of sleep, I can relate to Paul's scriptures, his writings on running. But whether you're positive about running or not, much can be learned about analyzing these scriptures, these passages, and what Paul is trying to teach us. So let's do that. Let's go now to one of the most common passages on professional or competitive running that Paul uses. We're going to travel to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, reading verses 24 and 25. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. Verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Here in this passage, Paul thrust the Christian reader into the midst of the competition with the exhortation, run to win. Run to lay hold of that crown. We are not in the grandstands with a hot dog and soda, cheering them on. We are in the midst of a Christian race, a spiritual race, in which we are striving to lay hold, to seize that imperishable crown. A crown that Paul elsewhere refers as one of glory, a crown of life, a crown of righteousness that the Lord will present at his coming. Elsewhere in the book of Philippians, Paul also talks about running, though it's a little bit more subtle and it takes some diving into the Greek. Let's go now to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, and see what the apostle teaches us as he was trying to connect with the Christian readers of his time. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. Now, in looking at this passage, I also tried to kind of take a look at commentaries, and I found it interesting to note that the Barnes commentary very early on says that this whole section, it has allusions to the Greek and races, to the Greek racing, to the, my wife just laughed at me, the Grecian, not Greken, it's the Grecian races. I was practicing, but I could blame the Aussie, but really it's just back to Philippians chapter 3. Let's see if we can also get the allusion to these races. Chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So this first passage here, verse 12, looking at the Greek, I'll expound a little bit upon some of these words. The word attained is the same Greek. It means to seize or obtain, which Paul also used in 1 Corinthians 9, which we had just read, in which he was referring to not having seized or obtained the crown of life yet. Now, perfected is an interesting word in that it means to complete or accomplish. Paul uses this in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, when he is saying that he doesn't count his life so dear so that he may complete, accomplish, or perfect his race with joy. He's talking about reaching that finish line. He's talking about completing his race. So back in Philippians, it says that he hasn't already perfected. He hasn't completed his race. But he presses on. This means to pursue. Thea defines it as to run swiftly in order to catch a person or a thing. Paul is pursuing. Another way this word can be translated is to persecute. It means there's something fervent about this. There's a passion, there's a zeal. He is chasing after that he may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me, that he may seize or take the prize that Jesus is offering, the goal of the kingdom. He is pursuing it. In verse 13, the analogy continues, where Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have already apprehended." He hasn't obtained it yet. He doesn't have that crown of righteousness. "But one thing I do," he has a focus, "forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." The idea here is that as the racers were on the track, they weren't looking at the other competitors or how far they had traveled. They had that singular focus of reaching the end, of reaching out and grabbing that baton or reaching the finishing line. And here, this is Paul saying the same thing. In verse 14, he says, "I press, I pursue, I persecute." It's funny to kind of hear that in almost a positive sense, but he is passionately desiring, he's chasing after the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He is on that race, he is running, and he is pursuing that goal, that finish line. That is his singular focus, his desire. And here we are, Paul, a man who has accomplished so much and grown and changed and developed, still with that goal, that focus, that passion of reaching the kingdom. He hadn't obtained it yet. The last main passage that Paul uses to talk about competitive running, as inspired by what he saw during his travels, is one that we're going to use to springboard into how we, as Christians in our spiritual race, may run freely without burden. And you may even remember this scripture that we're about to jump to. But in Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to be reading verse 1 and 2. In Hebrews chapter 12. Here we have important instructions on what we are to do in our Christian race. And I encourage you, once you've arrived in Hebrews chapter 12, to put a mark there, a pen, something, because we're going to be coming back to that verse often as we continue in this class. "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Paul is very clear here about what he's talking about, that we are on this racetrack, we are in this race, lay aside the weight and run with endurance. The concept of weight here, when it comes to encumbering or constraining yourself, it's holding you back, it's restricting. So this is burdens. These are things, these are weights upon us. In the case of the Grecian races, the racers often ran naked. Now, don't encourage that in the modern context. Not have anything constricting their movement. They were completely weightless in that sense, and they were able to run without any burdens upon them. Now, the word here, ensnares, could also be translated in the Old King James as beset or thwart. And the idea is it's almost like another racer holding you back. They're trying to trip you up. Paul is talking about weight, but it's interesting. The word "and" is actually in the Greek. So it's not like sometimes they'll do that in the translation. They may not have "and," but the translators separate into two concepts. Paul is actually presenting two concepts here. Now, we've heard a lot of messages over the years on sin, on the effects of sin, the power of it, how difficult it is to deal with sin and what it looks like. But I found it interesting that Paul wanted to highlight this concept of weight restricting us in our spiritual race. And so for the remainder of my message, I want to take a look at this analogy of this concept of weight and weights we could be carrying, burdens, things that are constricting us, and how we move away and we cast off these burdens. In that scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Greek "lay aside" is the idea behind that is like casting off something that's on you. It's like you take off a jacket, throwing it down, casting off this burden. Now, running was the analogy that Paul used in these passages we've just read so that his readers could really connect with the concept he's trying to present. But the core of this works with most endurance-based activities that has a desired goal or outcome that you're working towards. So if you're not a runner, and maybe you've enjoyed riding or swimming, or maybe you haven't, and rather you could look at it as like a long-haul road trip where you spend all day in the car, there's endurance, there's in destination. It could be a 12-hour work day if you've experienced that, or even childbirth. The idea here that Paul is trying to present is that the Christian journey is long and difficult. It requires us having a goal, a future focus, and having the endurance to get there to the end, so that we may cross the finish line and seize the amazing prize of God's kingdom. So even if you haven't had the opportunity to be a runner, or maybe tried and didn't like it, let's not put this message, this concept off to the side. Let's still grasp what Paul is trying to give us here and work hard to remove these burdens that are holding us back. So then what are these burdens? Let's take a look at that. And we're going to do that by using the same inspiration that Paul had and consider what distance running teaches us. In a study entitled "Think Aloud, An Examination of Distance Runners," test subjects were required to verbalize everything that passed through their minds as they ran continuously for over an hour. The results found that once they removed all the abstract, random, weird thoughts, the rest fell into three categories that were common amongst all of the participants. Runners thought about pain, pace, and the environment around them. These different thought processes then had the ability to either benefit the runner or hinder or burden the runner. By analyzing the mental burdens that affect a distance runner, we can learn how to identify and shed our own burdens as we run our spiritual race. So let's take a look first at the concepts of pain. Without a doubt, anyone who's experienced running or competitive sports or a case where you've got a high amount of cardiovascular energy required and you're using your muscles, it hurts. It hurts to be on the move for hours at a time. and there's no real way to avoid it. Every impacting step sends waves of energy throughout your body, and it can start to take its toll. You can receive hot spots on your feet, joint pains in your knees or your ankles, or even just the jolting of your arms as you're moving can start creating pain and discomfort. Now, conditioning, equipment, technique, and terrain can have a huge effect on your level of pain and its onset, but inevitably the pain starts to build and those little murmurs can swell into a roar. In our Christian race, pain should be no surprise for us. Jesus Christ told us to take up our instrument of death and follow him. And as we read, even in Hebrews chapter 11, of all the stories of the heroes of faith, we see huge challenges and difficulties and pain in their life as they followed God. The chronic effect of pain can lead to us having the mental burdens of discouragement and distress. These are the things that we need to cast off when it comes to pain. As a runner, we can start to question the value of our spiritual race or whether we should keep pushing on because of the discouragement or distress. If taking steps forward hurts so much, then why continue? Why keep trying to gain ground towards the finish line of the kingdom if we're just going to suffer every step along the way? These are mental burdens that we need to shed, we need to cast off when it comes to pain. The remedy of this for us as Christian runners and our spiritual race, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and to 18. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. And it's really interesting to be reading the words of the Apostle Paul and considering how much pain he went through, how much discomfort and challenge he went through in his own race towards the kingdom. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man, our physical man, is perishing, yet the inward man, the spiritual, is being renewed day by day. And here's the challenging scripture in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, at the physical, the challenge, the pain, the discomfort, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul is trying to put the pain in perspective of our eternal future. One of my favorite passages is Romans chapter 8, verse 18, where Paul says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." He's trying to say, yes, there's pain. Yes, there's discomfort. There's challenge. But it's only a light moment in contrast and comparison to the eternal glory that we are racing for, that we are striving for. And that's great. Thanks, Paul. We appreciate that. It's still really hard to do. But we have to remind ourselves as we're on our spiritual race to put our pain and suffering in perspective. And another great way we can do that is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, in which we are encouraged to think on the good things, to think on the positive, whatever is good and noble and pure, and the list goes on. And it is so important that we do that in our Christian race, that we focus on the good, on the goal, on Jesus Christ, on that the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the pain. He endured the suffering, the discomfort, the hardship. Despising the shame, has now obtained that glorious future, that amazing reward. He has sat down at the right hand of the throne. We are to look towards Jesus, our Lord, as we process the pain that comes from our spiritual race. In adventure racing, the The extreme fatigue and muscle soreness, the cuts, the bruises, the sores, the sunburnt, the dehydration. During the race, these become your world. Constantly in your face, you're constantly suffering as you're trying to push to that finish line. But when it's all done, and you finally are able to shower and have a rest, there is just such great elation and joy at the completion that all that pain just seems, it kind of disappears. You're able to see that pain in a new light. It's more so a measure of the value of your struggle. That pain is like an answer to the question, what are you willing to give to seize the prize? And I think when we cross that finish line and we become spirit, we're able to look back at all the pain we've suffered in our life. God, that He got us there, that He got us to that place, and He took care of us. Because there's a lot of people that upon receiving that pain of a race want to give up. They do not want to finish because the pain becomes too great. But if we're looking at our Lord and we're taking that pain and putting it into the right context, comparing it to eternity, we can finish that race. The second thought process that long-distance runners can fall into as they're going is that of pace. Now, in running, your pace is the number of minutes it takes to complete a mile. In effect, it's how fast you are running. Now, this is really important to think about during a race because your pace can determine whether you finish the long-distance race before the cutoff time. Now, this could happen one of two ways. Either your pace is too slow and you don't get there in time, or your pace is too high for too long and you burn yourself out. Now, in our Christian race, it's very important for us to keep track of our progress. How much are we growing? How much are we taking on the mind of Jesus Christ? And it's so important to remember that this isn't a 100-meter sprint. Now, when you get baptized, it can feel that way. You can gain a lot of ground, and you can really be moving fast, but you can also get burnt out. We tend to settle into a rhythm in an endurance race. And so years into the spiritual race, you can go from all the elation, the sprint, the excitement, to just a long, hard, uphill slog with moments of reprieve. Now, the way that pace can become a burden, because we do need to be mindful of our pace, is that there's two ditches that you can fall into when it comes to thinking too much about your pace. One ditch is you can become disillusioned. The other is you can become self-assured. So looking at the first, disillusioned. That means a feeling of disappointment resulting from the discovery that something is not as good as you first believed. That happens when, as a runner, you look back and you go, have I only gone that far? How much more do I have to go? I haven't covered much ground. What am I doing? Am I really committed to this? Am I really driven for this goal? It can be like the plant springing up in the stony ground. You have a lot of growth, a lot of excitement. You feel like there's a lot of progress, but the foundational core principles are lacking, and then you don't have the root. You're not anchored in the solid. And you start questioning your progress and its value. You can become disillusioned as you look at your pace, as you look back, as you consider how far you've come. The other ditch that you can fall into, another burden that we need to cast off if we identify that it exists, is to be self-assured. It's the idea, it's the feeling like you've been running great. I've been smashing this pace. I'm ahead of everyone else, of all the competition. And so when you feel like you're in a comfortable place, hey, I'm a pretty good Christian. I do all these things, check the boxes. I'm doing well. Then you can be tempted to slow down. You can be tempted to lessen the fire. Or like the proverbial hare, take a nap under a shady tree. I'm good. I've got it covered. I've got lots of oil in my lamp. I'm fine. I can take a break. The Laodiceans suffered from a self-assured pace. They were rich and need of nothing. And yet we read in Paul's own writings that not even he, despite his time with Jesus Christ, despite the amazing transformation that he went through and the powerful works he conducted, he still believed he had to strive and struggle to obtain that crown. As we read in Philippians, he pressed on, he pursued it. So what's the remedy to these potential burdens that we could take upon ourselves thinking too much about pace? We need to practice spirit-led self-checks to have a balanced pace. We want to be right in the middle. We don't want to be disillusioned with our progress. We don't want to be self-assured. We want to have a balanced perspective of our pace. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus Christ offers eye salve to those Christians in Laodicea so that they may see their state. We can ask for this as well. We can ask to have a spirit-led self-check. We want to see our pace. We want to see our progress. But here's the catch. Jesus was offering the eye salve. We're not going out there trying to get it ourselves. We're not trying to do a self-assessment by ourselves. We have to have the Spirit of God. We have to be seeing ourselves through the eyes of God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, as we consider receiving the spiritual self-assessment. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And verse 13 for those writing down. Verse 12, for the word, the Logos of God, Jesus Christ, is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give account. Our Lord sees us very clearly. He knows exactly how far we've traveled. He knows how fast we're traveling. He sees our undulation on our pace as we encounter hills or flats, or as we get maybe a little bit self-confident or a little bit disillusioned. He sees what's going on. He knows how we're traveling, and he knows what pace we need to take to get to the finish line. And so, kind of like a runner who consults their GPS watch, and every now and again, I've had this before where I'll set it on my watch that every mile it tells me how I'm going, how my pace is going. Every mile of our spiritual race, we need to be checking in on our progress. Checking in, not on our interpretation of the progress, but on the Lord's interpretation. Through prayer, through study, through fasting, through counsel. We do this once a year, don't we? At least at Passover. It's kind of like fasting, right? We at least fast once a year during atonement. But we really need to do self-examination regularly throughout the year so that we can check our pace. The last thought category that long-distance runners can fixate on as they're going that can become a burden to the runner is that of environment. Now, for someone who is running a physical race, it's very much the location. It could be in a city with all the noise, all the flashing lights, the activity, the cars, the sounds and sights. And you could be on a broad, flat path in the city, which is quite nice. Now, again, similar to pace, there's environment can be really beneficial for the runner. It can be very encouraging. And so this is a tricky one to identify when it comes to being a burden. How is the environment a burden? When you're running a race, maybe you could be in a track and field event and there's people in the green positivity. That can actually inspire you to run faster. Or you could be out in a wilderness environment and awestruck as you're running along a mountain ridge, buffeted by the wind, seeing eagles soaring. You could be so encouraged by your environment. So how can the environment be a burden for the Christian runner that we need? Well, similar to pace, there's a couple ditches. That's always the case, isn't it? There's always extremes. There's a couple ditches that we could fall into when it comes to our thought processes on our environment. We can be distracted or we can be disinterested. So in our life, in our very easy to get distracted. And that means that there is something that is preventing us from giving full attention to our race. If we focus too much on our environment, we can lose track of our goal and even be tempted to follow a sidetrack or halt our progress altogether. Running in the wild and you come to a glorious vista, it is great to pause and soak up the majesty and beauty of that. But it also has the potential to distract, and before too long you find you spend a lot of time stationary. You're not progressing towards the goal. You've said, this is nice. I want to stay here. I don't want to keep going. And so you can be distracted by something that's meant to be beautiful and exciting and positive. So we can be distracted in our life by our physical goals. We could have achieved something great and just like, this is excellent. I've reached a special point in my life. I don't want to keep running. We can be distracted by drama amongst fellow runners or by oblivious bystanders. So whether it's the politics and problems in the church, in the world, in the government, we can be distracted by what's going on in our relationships and in the world around us. World events can become a distraction that is a burden upon us. It's important to be aware of what's happening in world events and how prophecy plays out. But it can become a distraction in which you could... And we know these people where they can get too obsessed with world events and prophecy at the expense of self-development and agape towards family or church. The key is balance. Distraction is one of those ditches, but also you could be disinterested in the environment around you. In that case, we could be oblivious towards the good and the bad happening in the environment around us, stemming often from a case of being too self-focused or even just uncaring. I don't really care about the environment. I don't care what's going on. In adventure racing, you must be constantly examining the environment as your successful navigation depends on it. If you continue your race with little to no regard of the environment around you, you can easily get off track and not even realize that you're lost. Additionally, in racing, and running racing, if you're not aware of the environment immediately around you, it can be easier to trip on something and fall and injure yourself. The Christian runner needs to be mindful of the family, the church, the job, the physical life. We need to be mindful of that, but also balanced so that we're not falling into a case of distraction or disinterest. And so what's the remedy? How do we deal with that? In our pursuit towards balance and being mindful of environment without being distracted, we go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. This really is the answer as we continue on our spiritual race. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Again, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How do we maintain balance on our spiritual race and not get distracted by the world and the environment around us? We have to continue to go back to our Lord and the goal, the kingdom. We have to continue to bring our view back towards that so that we're not getting drawn any which way. Apostle Paul wants us to internalize the view that we are competitors in a spiritual long-distance race, pursuing an eternal prize, and to do so, we need to cast off any burden that is restricting us. By analyzing three categories of thinking common to long-distance runners, we've been able to identify burdens that can affect us, whether it's pain, in which chronic pain can lead to the mental burdens of discouragement and distress. We need to cast off these burdens that can come from pain by comparing it to the eternal glory we are struggling for, by having that kingdom focus. We could also take on burdens or weights if we're too involved, too thinking about pace, to the point where we could become disillusioned or self-assured. So what do we need to do for pace? As we analyze, we consider our life, we need to have spiritual GPS checks regularly, not just once a year before Passover. We need to consult our Lord on our progress, on our spiritual race, how we are going. And the third, environment. It's possible to become distracted by what's happening in our world, in our physical world, or even disinterested, to become numb to this. Our remedy, again, to focus ourselves back in on our Lord, on the kingdom. Brethren, we are all running together for the crown of life. Let us run in such a way that we may obtain it. Let us run burdenless.